All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. An incredible daf of Gemara ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Zayin 37, and we are picking up on the top of Lamed Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. We'll say incredible, incredible Gemara today. We dedicate our learning this morning. Today is the yard site of Rabbi Yitzchak of Berdichev, Zechuso Yagin Alinu. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama of the Tzaddik, will merit Hashem have an Aliyah, and His Torah should continue to inspire us. All right, we'll say Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, last daf of Meseches Midos. Very exciting. Shoshim Ushmona Taim Hayusham. We'll say there are 38 Taim. We've discussed the Taim. You know, the English translation that's often used are cells. Cells always sounds like it has like such a negative connotation. They were rooms, small rooms. So we'll say these rooms, just so you could appreciate, we saw this a little bit yesterday, right? When the Kohen was going to open up the Azara. So what happened over here? When he was going to open up the Heichal. So remember again, he would take the Pishpesh, right? The small door on the right side. He would come in. We saw Machlokas exactly where he came in. Did he come in behind the two double doors? Did he come in the middle of the two double doors? But according to the approach, he came behind the two double doors. He went through the doors, went through the door, the small door, and he went into one of the ta'im, one of these smaller rooms. What were these rooms used for? So if you can imagine, so remember, you enter, so we're entering into the Beis HaMikdash proper now, right? So you enter into the Beis HaMikdash, you enter into the Ulam, right? The Ulam is the front part of the antechamber, we call it. That's like the wider part, that's the head of the T, right? When you go a little bit further back, you enter into what's called the Heichal. That's the primary Mikdash area, which houses the utensils, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach HaKetores. There's a curtain then at the end of that Heichal, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim in back. The Ta'im was pretty much surrounding the Heichal. They went around the entire Heichal area, like a U. We're going to describe it in just a moment. What were these Ta'im used for? They were used to house the gold and silver and other precious items of the Beis HaMikdash. This was the storehouse. So Shloshim Ushmona Taim Hayusham. There are 38 Taim in the Beis HaMikdash. Chamisha Asar B'Tzafon, Chamisha Asar B'Darom. 15 on the north, 15 on the south. Ushmona B'Maruf, and 8 in the west. So let's remember again, just to understand, the west is the area behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shevet Tzafon, Shevet Darom, we'll say in the north and the south, Chamisha Gabe Chamisha, the Chamisha Gabeim. The 15 were arranged as follows. 3 levels of 5 Ta'im each. 3 levels of 5 Ta'im each. V'shev Marav, the western one, which was only 8, Shlosha Gabe, Shlosha Shnama Gabeim. 2 stories each of 3. 3 rooms each and 2 on top. U'shlosha Psachim Hari L'chol Echad V'Echad, each of the Ta'im had 3 entrances, or I should say, not entrances, 3 openings. One entrance from, one opening to the ta, to the particular room from the right. Echad lahatami a small, one entrance way from the left. The echad lahatashi al gabav, and one entrance way ultimately again from top. So as I said, the idea over here was you were able to access the time through ladder systems, right? So you can go from one room up to the next, up to the next, up to the next. Ubekaren Mizrachis Tzfonis, and on the northeast corner, Hayu Chamishim Psachim. That corner, there were 5 entranceways to the Ta. Echad l'hata min hayomin, one to the Ta from the right. Ve'echad l'hata sha'al gabav, one to the Ta above it. Ve'echad l'mesiba, we'll say one to the Mesiba. Now the Mesiba, interestingly enough, if you were looking at the Beis HaMikdash, to the right of the Beis HaMikdash, there was something called the Mesiba. Mesiba was a ramp. It was a ramp that went up the side of the Beis HaMikdash, and as we're going to see, essentially went all the way around. We'll see further definition in that in just a moment. Ve'echel the Mesiba, ve'echel the Pishpish, ve'echel the Heichel. One exit ultimately again to the Pishpish, to the small door, and then one exit ultimately again to the Heichel. In fact, if you take a look at the Rush here for just a moment, the Rush says the Mesiba. Well, actually, he just says we'll see later on the fifth Mishnah. Fine. So we'll say, so those are the time. 38 time. 15 on the north side, 15 on the south side, each of them arranged in 3 rows, 3 levels, 3 floors of 5 rooms each, 8 on the south side, behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, ultimately again arranged 3-3-2. Beautiful. Dalit. Hatachtona. Chamisha. Verovad Shisha. So now, the Mishnah goes on. It's actually very interesting to explain the dimensions of the rooms. So remember again, this is talking on the north and on the south sides, where you have 15 rooms, 3 levels of 5 each. Now the Mishnah just points out that the dimensions of all the rooms were not the same. V'hatachtona chamisha. So essentially, the bottom row of ta rooms of rooms had a width of 5 amas. Verovad shisha. Now we'll say the middle level of rooms had a width of 6 amas. Hatachtona chamisha verovad shisha. Let me say that again. Ultimately, again, we're going to see the bottom row has a width of 5 amas. V'amtzais shisha verovad sheva. V'halyona sheva. So the bottom row had a width of 5 amas, the middle row a width of 6 amas, and the upper row a width of 7 amas. Nebo says we're going to see the outer wall of the heichal, was indented. So there was protruded. There was a larger protrusion on the bottom level, a smaller protrusion on the middle level, and even a smaller protrusion, ultimately, again, on the upper level. The Gemara says, Shene Emar, Mishnah says, Hayitzia tachtona chamish ba'ama rachba, v'atichona shesh ba'ama rachba, v'ashlishis sheva ba'ama rachba. So apparently, the width of the particular time of the bottom row, the middle row, and the upper row were all based on a pasuk in Malachim. So these dimensions ultimately were communicated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, good. Hey, now we come back to that ta that we mentioned. So just to understand how this worked. So remember, I'm looking at the Beis HaMikdash straight on. Right, so remember again, I'm looking at the entrance way of the Beis HaMikdash. So in front of me, remember, which is the entrance way to the Ulam, in front of me is a double door. To my right is the pishpesh, right? The small door, the coin with access. A little bit further past that, or really behind that, are the time, right? That's ultimately all the rooms are behind that. Go a little bit more to the right, and what you would see is a ramp. That ramp was called the Mesiba. What would you do with the Mesiba? This is incredible. Hey, O Mesiba Haisa'ola, Mikaren Mizrachis Tzfonis, Likaren Tzfonis Ma'arabis. The ramp would go from the northeast corner to the northwest corner. Sheba Hayolin Ligagos Hatoim. So I'll say from that ramp, you could get to the top of the Toim. Remember again, the Toim extended how many floors? 3 floors. So the Mesiba could take you to the top level of the Toim. So now you're walking up the Mesiba. You're facing towards the west. But you would be walking the entire northern area. Until you'd get to the west. Get to the west. Then turn. We're going to see what we're doing. Turn south. Halach klapi marav achimagil adarum. Ultimately, again, he would face west until he arrived at the southern side. Hegia klapi darum v'hayu panav lemizrach. Once you got all the way to the southern side, you would then turn east. Hayimahalich bedarum achimagil lepischa shalaliyah. We'll say what just happened over here. Essentially, the Mesiba goes all the way around the actual Beis HaMikdash. So here's what you would do. So so we understand directly what's happening over here. I am looking at the Beis HaMikdash, right? I'm staring straight ahead. To my right, all the way to the right to the Beis HaMikdash, is that ramp that goes upwards. If I go ahead and I walk upward of that ramp, so essentially again, I will hit the end of the Beis HaMikdash, turn left. If I turn left, I'm right in back of what? The Kodesh HaKadosh, the Holy of Holies. Keep going until you hit, you can't go anymore. Turn left again. Once I turn left again, that'll bring me to the other side of the Heichal. Once I get to the other side of the Heichal, the Gemara says something was there called Pischa Shel Aliyah. Both say there was an opening, an entranceway that was there. Pischa Shel Aliyah. Both say this is incredible. How should we get the Pischa Shel Aliyah? She Pischa Shel Aliyah Pasuach Klape Hadarim. Because we'll say ultimately again, the entranceway to the Aliyah. Now what we're going to see is this was a doorway on the side of the Heichal. This was a doorway on the side of the Beis HaMikdash that ultimately again opened towards the southern side. Over Pischa Shel Aliyah, now right by that entranceway, that doorway on the side of the Mikdash, Haya Beis Klunasal Shel Erez. But I say this is wild. There were two pieces of cedar wood, Shebahen Hayu Olin Ligaga Shel Aliyah. Those two pieces of cedar wood, you could climb up to the top of the Beis HaMikdash, the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I will say, the Rush records here an interesting discussion as to what exactly this was. Was this like, did the coin have to climb this piece of wood? Or Pashas, what he says is, no, it must have been a staircase. It must have been an outside staircase that would lead you ultimately, again, to the roof. Uberoshan, Pasbasin Mavdilin Ba'aliyah, we're going to see this in just a little bit. And on the top of this were literally paspasin, pieces of wood, which made a division in the upper story between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. We'll see, if you look at the Rush here for just a moment, the Rush says as follows. The Rush says, Hayuk, he changes it, actually not yet. One second. No, not yet, sorry. Ululin hayu psuchin ba'aliyah lebeis kodesh hakadoshim, shebahen hayu mishashin esa umnin betevos kedesh lo yazonu ayinayim beis kodesh hakadoshim. So essentially here's what's happening. On the left side of the Beis HaMikdash, the left side of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a doorway in an upper story. With that doorway there, Bosei, was there, that was an access point in order to be able for any type of repairs that had to be made. The way to access that doorway, however, was only on the ramp on the right side of the Heichal. So all the way to the right, there was a ramp. That ramp went all the way around the Mikdash. That ramp led to an outside doorway that also right next to it had a cedar staircase. That cedar staircase led to the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash. So for rooftop repairs, you would take that outer staircase. If you have to do anything inside, you would use that doorway. The Mishnah then ends up by saying something else. V'lulin hayu psuchin balia. I both say there were other lulin. Lulin also means entry points or windows. There were windows in the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. People say, what did they do? Here's the interesting question. What would you do? What would happen if halacha lemaisa there were repairs needed inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Right? How exactly do you do that? So they had an incredible system. First of all, you would access the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the outside, not from the inside. So what they would do is they would take the outside ramp. Let's say the workers would take the outside ramp. And also now, what I do want to point out is historically, whenever they could use skilled Kohanim for any type of repair work, they did. They did, which is interesting because you would assume, of course, who did the repairs in the Beis HaMikdash? No, you got a guy. Everybody has a guy, right? I'm saying, you know, whatever. I'm not Jews. Jews aren't doing that. Come on, you know, we've got someone for that. Jose, so amazing. Once upon a time, Jews were handy. Right? So what's amazing to see is again, they had the idea was ideally you had Kohanim. That was the ideal. If you couldn't get Kohanim, you had Levium. If you couldn't get Levium, you were able to use Yisraelim. Shai says, how do you get people in there? So as I said, obviously for the sake of repairs, the rules are going to change a little bit. But here's what they did. What happens if you had to make repairs in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So they didn't want people just coming in through the curtains of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what they would do is they would go ahead and lower them in boxes through these lulim. Through these openings, they would lower them through these containers. The containers were closed on all three sides and only open on the side from which the work had to be done. So therefore, again, this way, they're not looking at anything else that's happening all around them, just focused over there. Take a look at Mishnah Vav. So that's what he says over here. So therefore, again, they would lower them down in the boxes in order that they should not look upon anything else in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vav. Vahecho. Now the Gemara is going to get into a little bit of the, or Mishnah is going to get into a little bit of the dimensions of the actual Beis HaMikdash. Vahechal, Mea al Mea. The Hechal itself was 100 Amos by 100 Amos, Aurum Mea, by a height ultimately again of 100 Amos as well. We're going to see how these dimensions play out. Ha'otem, Nebosei, we're talking first about the height over here. Ha'otem, Sheish Amos. So this is actually very interesting. The Otem was the base of the structure. Bosei, now remember again, we saw in yesterday's daf that there were a series of steps leading up from the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash into the actual Ulam. So the Ulam itself was, the Beis HaMikdash was built on a raised foundation. That's called the Otem. The Otem was 6 Amas high. The Gova Arboim Amma. And then that area, ultimately, the inside of that area was then 40 Amas. The Amma Kior. Then Abbas said, we're talking about now the height. Then there was an Amma of Kior. Abbas said, Kior refers to the fact that there was an Amma of decorated ceiling area. So one Amma of decorated ceiling area. Actually, again, the Rush points out over here, if you take a look, Amma Kior, he says, Tzitzim uprachim mitzuyarim saviv berachav Amma. There was like decorative flowers and decorative trees that were engraved for an Amma. Va'amma kior va'amsayim beis dofer. So we'll say, so what that means is when you looked up at the ceiling of the Beis HaMikdash, the ceiling of the Beis HaMikdash was decorative. It was beautifully decorative. Above that ceiling, amasayim beis dofer, there were two Amos of support beams. Two Amos of support beams. The Amma Tikra, then another Amma, I will say, of reinforced ceiling. The Amma Ma'aziva, another Amma of plaster ceiling. The Gova Shal Aliyah Mea Amma. And then the upper story, so I will say, so essentially what we see in the Beis HaMikdash is quite interesting. There was a ceiling that essentially divided the Beis HaMikdash, the height of the Beis HaMikdash, into two floors, so to speak. Now, the upper floor wasn't really used for anything. It wasn't a functional second floor. It was really an access area as well. So we'll say, so therefore, this ceiling really has three different parts. There's a decorative part, there are the support beams, and then there are two more additional layers of ceiling. Above that is what we call the aliyah. Vegova Veshalia Mem Amma. Amma Kior Vama Sain Beis Dilfa. Amma Tikra Vama Aziva Vigimo Amos Maka. Now, both say, now above all of that, now in the rooftop area, there were three Amos of Imake. Make is a fence. Why do you need a fence? Because the Beis HaMikdash is a flat roof, right? Anytime you have a flat roof, there is an obligation ultimately again to have a fence. So because of that, again, the height of the Beis HaMikdash, when calculating the height of the Maka is part of the calculation as well. Va'ama Kala Orev. And I will say there was also an additional Amma of what they call the Kala Orev. I will say it's actually very interesting. Kala Orev also means the top of the Beis HaMikdash, the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash, had metal spikes. Why did it have metal spikes? Because they did not want birds. I will say, you know, you can see this if you go to the Kotel today, right? On the top of the Aron Kodesh that they have like these pieces of metal that comes to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Amma Kior. They don't want birds settling on it. They didn't want birds because I will say, remember, it's not the pshat that we don't love animals. We love everyone, right? It's a cleanup issue, right? No one wants to, they don't want the Beis HaMikdash to become a nesting area. So that was the Amma Kior. So also, therefore, again, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Haya Kala Orev Olam in Amida, the Kala Orev, right? Those metal spikes on top is not part of the height of the Beis HaMikdash. Ella Arba Amos Haya Maika. Rather, again, Rabbi Yehuda says, in fact, the Maka was not 3 Amos high, rather, it was 4 Amos high. And Abbas, when you put it all together, that gives you the entire height. Good. Mishnah Zayin. Mi Mizrach Lemarov. And Abbas said, what about when measuring the Beis HaMikdash from east to west? So from east to west, Mea Amo. ultimately was also 100 amas. How so? So what's it? We're just running through the calculations here. Me'a ama kosal ulam chamish. The thickness of the wall of the ulam was 5 amas. The ulam achad asar. The ulam itself was 11 amas. Kosal heichal sheish. The wall of the heichal was 6 amas. The zocho arba'im ama. And then there was 40 amas of space inside of it. Amatraxin, right? The Eshim Amma base Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Amatraxin of Osa means the Amma that was occupied by the curtain of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then ultimately, again, the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. I'm sorry, the Eshim Amma base Kodesh HaKadoshim, 20 Ammas of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kosala Heichal Sheish, the Hata Sheish, the Kosala Ta Chamesh. So the wall of the Heichal was 6 Ammas. The Ta itself was 6 amas, and the wall of the Ta was 5 amas. That gives you ultimately, again, the length in the eastern direction. Minatzaf on the Dorum, from north to south, Shivim Amma was 70 amas. How so? Kosal Hamispa. Chamish, so the wall, we'll say, remember again, the Mispa is the Mesiba was the ramp. So remember again, the ramp itself was enclosed by walls on both sides. So Kosala Mesiba Chamish, Vamesiba Shalosh, Kosala Ta Chamish, Vata Shesh, Kosala Heichal Shesh, Vitocho Esrim Amma. So we'll say, so again, we're just going through the measurements of all the different areas. So we'll say, remember again, there are two sets of measurements. There's usable area measurements and there's wall thickness measurements. All of this contributes, of course, to the entire length. Kosal Heichal Sheish, literally again, the wall of the Heichal was 6 amas. Vatar Sheish, another tar, remember again, another cell on the other side, 6 amas. Kosal Atar Chamesh, the wall of the Tar was another 5 amas. Base Horadas Hamayim, Shalosh amas. We'll say here we're introduced to a new area which we did not hear about before, which is the area brought down where the water was brought down. If you take a look actually at the Rush, so the Rush says over here, Beis Haradas Hamayim, we'll say if you have the Rush on the side, it's the second to last line from the bottom. Hayamakum Shemei Nafchos Nimshachin Derek Sham Bitzinor Zvaomiyam Sha'asa Shlomo Ulebeis Atila. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So apparently on the left hand side of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a channel that brought down drinking water. Remember again, we learned about the channel that went through the Azara. That apparently was not fit for drinking. That channel ultimately was used for washing the Azara. But apparently a channel to supply drinking water to the Beis HaMikdash came off the left side. And when I say left, I'm talking about when you're looking at the Beis HaMikdash. On the left-hand side was what they called this Beis Horadas HaMayim. That was Shalosh Amas, V'Hakosel Chamish Amas. And ultimately, again, the wall width, 5 Amas. Ha'ulam Odef Alav Chamish Esrei Amin Atzafon. The Chamish Esrei Amma Min Hadarm. So we'll say the Ulam, remember the Ulam is the top of the T. So the width of the Ulam extended past the Heichal, 15 Amos on each side. The Hu Haya Nikra Beis HaChalifos. So this is actually very interesting. What did they do with the extra area of width, or really of length, of the Ulam on each side? Because also remember again, like I said before, the Beis HaMikdash proper is a T, right? The Ulam is the top of the T, right? Is a long rectangle, and the Heichal ultimately is a longer rectangle. What did they do with the area of the Ulam that surpassed the Heichal? Remember, 15 amos on each side. Each of those extra rooms were called the Beis HaChalifos, the Chamber of Knives. What did they keep in the Chamber of Knives? Knives, right? That's right. No deeper symbolism here, right? So they went ahead and they kept. So the Gemara says, "Beis HaChalifa Shasham Gonzim Es Hasakinin." That is where they kept the knives. So the Gemara says, "Shasham Gonzim Sakin VaHeichal Tzar Meachorav." This is actually very interesting. The Heichal itself became narrower in the back. Meachorav VeRachav Milafanav was narrower in the back and wider in the front. The domelari, it can be compared to a line. Now, what does this mean? When it says the heichal was wider in the front and narrow in the back, what it refers to is the Beis HaMikdash as a whole. The ulam is wide in the front, and remember again, then the heichal is narrow in the back. Why was the Beis HaMikdash structured that way? The domelari, so that it should look like a lion. Shene emar, quotes over the passage from Yeshaya. Hoy Ariel. Ariel Kiryas Chana David Sifu Shana Ashana Chanim Yinakfu. So the Gemara says, Ma ari tzar me'achora v'rachav milafanav, just like a lion is wide in front and narrow in the back, af ha'heichal tzar me'achorav v'rachav milafanav. So to the Beis HaMikdash is wide in the front and narrow in the back. We'll say, what does it mean a lion is wide in the front and narrow in the back? It's mane. Right, so when you look at the main, right, when you look at the line from the front, because of the main, it looks much wider. So this is actually a beautiful, beautiful idea. The Beis HaMikdash was supposed to look like a lion, right? Look, why I was saying to teach us that the lion is the paradigmatic example of strength, of prowess, to teach us that the strength of Klal Yisrael, I was saying, comes from our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more strongly we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the stronger the connection. Ultimately, again, the more powerful the Am. Incredible. Hadron Allah, Pischo Shalhecha. Let's say Mazel Tov. Last daf of Meseches Midos. Lam Zainam Abbeis. Kala Azara Haisa Orech Mea Ushmonim Vesheva. Al Orech Mea Ushlosh Vesheva. Let's say the entire length of the Azara. Let's say, so remember again, pay attention to our terms. Up until now, we have been focusing on the length and width of the actual Beis HaMikdash itself. This is now mentioning the length of the Azara. Both said the Azara, for our purposes, begins where? Begins at the courtyard, which contains the outer Mizbeach, until the wall behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the entire length of the Azara was 187 amos by a length of 188, by a width of 135 amos. Mina Mizrach Lamaira, from east to west, Kuf Pezayin. How do we Rabbi say from east to west? Just direction to understand. When you would walk into the Beis HaMikdash from the east. That's how you'd enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Now obviously you could enter from the south and the north also, but those are side entrances. The front entrance of the Beis HaMikdash is on the east. So remember again, we're going through what we call the Ezras Nashim, which is like the regular courtyard, up a flight of stairs, onto a platform, down a flight of stairs. When you go down that flight of stairs, we're in what's called now the Azara. That outer area contained the Mizbeach, the rings, all the different things we've been learning about right now. That courtyard was 100, that area is 187 amos in length by 135 amos in width. Here's the breakdown. Mina Mizrach Lamarov, from the east to the west, Kuf Pei Zayin, Makom Drisas Ragle Yisrael, Yud Alef Amos. So we'll say the area that we call Makom Drisas Ragle Yisrael, the place where the Yisraelim could be, that's 11 amos. We'll say that's pretty much the area from the steps ultimately to the Mizbeach. Makom Drisas Ragle Yisrael, Yud Alef Amos. Makom Drisas Kohanim, Achat Esrei Amo. The area where only Kohanim could traverse, another 11 Amos. HaMizbeach, the Mizbeach itself made up, Shloshim Ushtayim, made up 32 Amos. Beina Ulam v'la Mizbeach, in the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, Eshim Ushtayim Amo. That represents ultimately what? 32 Amos. Hacheo, Kuf Amo, V'achat Esrei Amo la'achori b'isakaporas. So I'll say ultimately, and then the air, remember again, the Azara speaking this entire courtyard, there's another 11 amos behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Fine. So I'll say, so that, if you put that all together, that gives me 187 amos in length. Good. Parat Mishnah Beis. Minat Safon there. So we'll say that's the length. Now remember, length goes from east to west. Width goes from north to south. So Minat Safon there. I will say, what about width? Minat Safon Darom. Me'er Shloshim V'chamish is 135 amos. How so? Mina Kevesh LaMizbeach Shishim Ushtayim. So we'll say from the ramp to the end of the Mizbeach is 62 amos. Mina Mizbeach L'Taba'os Shmona amos. From the Mizbeach to the rings, right? We'll say the rings, remember that's where they held down the animal for Shechita, is 8 amos. Mokom HaTaba'os Esrim V'Arba. The area that the actual rings took up was 24 amos. Mina Taba'os L'Shulchanos. From the Taba'os to the tables. Remember, again, we'll say those are the marble tables upon which they would clean out, right? They would dismember and clean out the animal. So ultimately, again, Arba, 4 amos. Mina Shulchanos L'Nenasim, right? So we'll say from the tables to the Nenasim, the Nenasim are the small pillars, the short pillars, Arba, 4 amos. Mina Nenasim L'Kosel, from the small pillars to the wall, L'Kosel La'azara, Shmona amos. The Hamosar, and we'll say the remaining distance is Bein HaKevesh, L'Kosel, U'makom HaNenasim. I will say the remaining area is the area between the ramp and the southern wall, and the pillars and the eastern wall. Put that all together, and what do you get? 135 amos. Incredible. Gimel. Sheish lishkos hayibazra. I'll say another incredible gimel over here. There were six chambers. This is really incredible. Six chambers in the Azara. I will say now there were more than six chambers, but now six chambers that we're focusing on. This is really incredible. Shalosh b'tzafon, v'shalosh b'tzafon. So we'll say, so remember again, so three in the north, and three in the south. So just to remember again, east, west, just to get our orientations right. East, west. Now you give this last half of me, though. Sorry. Maybe, does everybody, you know, maybe put it on the WhatsApp if everyone wants to see it. They did. Yeah, good. No, I have it over here, actually. So say, so, thank you. East, west. Yeah. East, so just you on the, or east is what we'll call front, right? West. I'm sorry. Yeah. East, west. East is front. West is back. North, south are the sides. Just to, or if it helps. I don't know if it helps at all. So Sheish Lishkos Hayub Azara. We'll say there are six chambers in the Azara. Right? So also remember again, Azara, just because we use that word a little bit interchangeably here. So Azara in this context of Osai doesn't refer, brothers, for a second. Hey, thank you. So remember again, Osai, generally when we speak about Azara, so often we think that refers to this area over here, what we call the Ezras Nashim. We're talking about in this area over here, this is also called Azara. So all the measurements that we were talking about were in this area over here by the Beis HaMikdash proper. We spoke about this a couple of days ago, we're not talking about this anymore now. Thank you. So the Gemara says as follows, six lishkos, there were six chambers in the Azara. Shalosh b'tzafon b'shalosh b'darom, three in the north, three in the south. Listen to this. Shebet Safon, in the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash, Lishkas HaMelach, Velishkas HaParva, Velishkas HaMadichin. There was, I'll say, these three chambers. What were these three chambers used for? Lishkas HaMelach. Okay, so you don't need too much of an imagination to know what they did with the salt chamber. Right? So the Lishkas HaMelach, ultimately, again, was used Shesham HaYunosnim Melach LaKarban. That's where they went ahead and they used for the, they kept the salt, right? Al-Kol Karbancha Takriv Melach. You have to have salt on every single carbon. So they had salt storehouses. There must have been an enormous amount of salt inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Lishkas HaParva. I'm sorry. Lishkas HaParva. I'm about to say, what would they do in Lishkas HaParva? Shebo Sham Hayumolchin Oros Kachiv. So this is actually very interesting. So remember again, right next to the Lishkas HaMelach was the Lishkas HaParva. What would they do in Lishkas HaParva? They would tan the hides, or literally salt the hides. We'll say one of the ways in which you tan a hide is you salt it. Right? So what's that? What do you call that process? Tanning. Thank you. Tanning. Right? So essentially, excellent. Right? So let's say, so they had essentially an in-mikdash tannery. An in-mikdash tannery. And that chamber was right next to the chamber of salt, right? Which made a lot of sense because you need salt in order to tan the hide. And Rabbi says, it's very interesting. Interestingly enough, on the rooftop of the Lishkas HaParva, which was the tanning chamber, So I say, this is incredible. I don't know if you have a picture of this in Gemara, but again, so remember you have the Lishkas HaMelach, all the way towards kind of like the eastern side. Right next to it, you have the Lishkas HaParva, which is where they used to tan the hides. On the roof, there was a rooftop mikvah, a rooftop lap pool, right? Right, a rooftop mikvah, right? On the Lishkas HaParva, that was the mikvah that the Kohen used on Yom Kippur. Kohen used on Yom Kippur. Lishkas HaMadichim, Shesham HaYumadichim, Kerei Kodesh HaKadoshim. But then Lishkas HaMadichim, that's where they would clean out the insides of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Umisham Mesiba Ol Legag Beis HaParva. And the Bo said there was a staircase, ultimately again from the Lishkas HaMadichim, ultimately again to the Beis HaTfilah. So I'll say, interestingly enough, that was an enclosed staircase, and it was done in a way to prevent the smell from the Lishkas HaParva from impacting the Kohen Gadol as he was going up to use that mikvah. Pretty incredible. Dalit, Shevedarim. We'll say, what were the three chambers in the south? Lishkas HaEitz, Lishkas HaGola, Lishkas HaGozis. I will say, ultimately, again, the chambers in the south, Yeah, the chambers in the south were the Lishkas Ha'itz, the Lishkas Ha'gola, Lishkas Ha'gozis. So, but what's wrong?
Here they say north.
Oh, I'm sorry. Correct. I'm sorry. Thank you. It's changed. I'm sorry. The Hagos here, right? That's a little above. The north. Thank you. The ones in the north, thank you. Lishkas Ha'is, Lishkas Ha'gola, Lishkas Ha'gozis. So the three chambers in the north, Rabbi Osai, are these other three chambers. Lishkas Ha'is, Lishkas Ha'gola, Lishkas Ha'gozis. What are these each used for? So Rabbi Osai is incredible. Lishkas Ha'is, Am Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Shachachti Ma'haisa Mishamesha. So Rabbi Osai, we actually already saw this before. Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't know what the Lishkas Ha'is was used for. Rebbe said, lest you think you're such a chacham. Oh, of course I know what it's used for. It's used for wood. No. Why? Where was wood kept? Rebbe said, don't make me start midos all over again. Right? Lishkas Ha'itzim was in the primary Azara. I wish you could have that for a second. Remember again, Lishkas Ha'itzim, Rebbe said, is in, the Lishk is here. Rebbe said, over here. This is Lishkas Ha'itzim over here. Right, the bottom of the Ezras Noshim, this is where all the wood was kept. And remember again, who worked here? The Kohanim who had Mumin. Right, the Kohanim who had Mumin ultimately, again, were worked in that chamber. Their job was to deworm the wood. That was their job. They couldn't do any other avodah, so they worked there. So therefore, Rabbi Loza says, I don't know what this Lishkas Ha'itzim was used for. It wasn't used for wood, because wood was kept in a different storehouse. I don't know what it was used for. So the Gemara says, Shechachti Ma'haisa Mishameshas. Abishol Omer, Abishol says, Lishkas Kohen Gadol, Ha'isa Achorei Shtein. So we'll say, there's actually Machlokes how to read this statement. Some say Abishol is saying that the Lishkas Ha'itzim was actually the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol. So others disagree with that. That Abishol is actually, the Rush says, Abishol is making his own independent statement. But the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol, we'll say, so the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol, also known as the Lishkas Parhedrin. That's the first Mishnah Maseches Yuma, that when the Kohen was sequestered from his family after Rosh Hashanah, to prepare for the Avodah of Yom Kippur, he was put into a chamber. Some say that, so that chamber was called the Lishkas Parhedrin. That's what Abishol is describing over here. So the Lishkas Parhedrin, was behind the two other chambers. Now, both say, the two other chambers that we see, that we know that he's describing over here, we'll see, are the Lishkas Hagozis and the Lishkas Hagola. We'll discuss Lishkas Hagola in just a moment. The Gag Shloshtan Shava. Ultimately, again, the rooftop, all three of these chambers had an equal level rooftop. Lishkas Hagola, Sham Haisa Bar Kavua, the Agalgul Nasun Alav, Umisham Maspikin Mayim Lechol Ha'azara. So we'll say, there was a chamber called Lishkas Hagola. Inside the Lishkas Hagola was a well. Apparently it was a well that was dug by those Jews who came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. It forever became known as the Lishkas Hagola. There was a stone on top of that well, and that well provided drinking water for everyone in the Azara. Lishkas Hagozis. Rabbi say, what happened in Lishkas Hagozis? So we know, Sham Haisa Sanhedrin Gedolish Sheisol Yosheves. So Rabbi say, there, Lishkas Hagozis, the chamber of hewn stone, that is where the Sanhedrin sat. Rabbi say, now I just want to point out, we know that ultimately, again, there were certain chambers that were partially inside the Kodesh, partially outside of the Kodesh. Right? The primary one that we were focusing on was what? Was the Beis HaMokad. Right? That's the area where the Kohanim slept. Part of it was inside the Mikdash. Lishkas Hagozis, chamber of hewn stone, was also partially inside the Kodesh, partially outside of the Kodesh. Because remember, again, obviously the members of the Sanhedrin, Rabbi Osei, were not all Kohanim. Right? So therefore, Rabbi Osei says, what happened to Lishkas Hagozis? That's where the Sanhedrin sat. What do they do? Rabbi Osei, this is incredible. What would they do in the Lishkas Hagozis? What would they do in Lishkas Hagozis? They would adjudicate who, in fact, was a fit Kohen. I will say, the Rush points out, that's not all they did, right? Meaning they did plenty of things. That was the high court. That was the Supreme Court of Klal Yisrael. So the Pashas, they were adjudicating different cases all the time. But one of the things that they did was that they determined genealogical fitness. The Kohen Shenimtza B'Psul, Kohen in whom was found the Psul. And I will say, Psul in this context doesn't mean like a mum. Psul in this context means what? A genealogical flaw. So they remember again, I will say, it's not like today, right? The guy that comes over to you, Kohen? You're like, Yeah, right? And he says, okay, right? And certainly, again, your mamish like you're a kohen, right? So we'll say, that's fine, because at the end of the day, the achrayus is on you. You want to get up there and duchen because you think you're a kohen? Okay, I hope you're right, because you're making a bracha, so hopefully you're right. But I will say, we know when Mashiach comes, there are many kohanim who are not kohanim. Many kohanim, many levim who are not levim, just like there are many Israelim who are kohanim and levim. So I'll say, by the way, it goes both ways. I'll say, because right, I want to point out something very important, right? So the kohanim who think they're kohanim, who are not kohanim, are going to have to deal with the brachas levatalas they made, right, for duchening. The Israelim who are kohanim are going to have to deal with all the levayas they went to. Right? So I say, so there's going to be a lot of kabanas for a lot of Jews, straightening out a lot of genealogical fitness when Mashiach comes. So one of the primary things they did in the Lishkas HaGos was they decided who was a fit kohen. If there was a genealogical blemish discovered in a kohen, what would happen? It's incredible. Lovei shchorim, he would wear black clothing. Umisatev shchorim, and he would wrap himself in black clothing. V'yotze v'holechlo. He would go and he would leave the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so apparently what they would do is they would publicize, if it turned out that somebody who thought he was a kohen is not really a kohen, they would kind of make it public, which was important. You had to make it public. Not chasom to embarrass him, but in order that people should know who is a kohen, who's not a kohen. Because remember, again, we'll say, it has ramifications for avod in the Beis HaMikdash, who you give your trumas and maestras to. So if you were found to be genealogically blemished, you went out wrapped in black clothing. We'll say, listen to the end of the Masechta. V'shalonim tzabal psul. But if a kohen had his genealogy upheld, lovesh levanim, he would wear white clothing, or misatev levanim, nichnas mishamish im echav kohanim. The yomtov haya osin shalonimpsa psul bizarro shel aron. Rabbi, listen to this. On the day when the Sanhedrin upheld your genealogical fitness, you made a yomtov. You made a big suda party. Rabbi, think about this. You were just upheld, right? Your kohanic credentials were just established by the Sanhedrin. You are now a bona fide kohen. They would make a yomtiv. And both say, this is what they would say. Baruch hamakom baruchu. Shalonimtsa psul bizarro shel Aaron. That ultimately, again, right, what a bracha, that there was no blemish found amongst the offspring of Aaron. Ubaruchu shebachar ba'aron ubebanav la'amod l'sharis lefnei Hashem bebeis kodesh hakadoshim. And they will say, so Baruch Hashem, that there are unblemished offspring of Aaron, and Baruch Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen Aaron and his sons to stand before him, to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and to serve in the Beis Kodesh HaKadosh. And I will say, think about this in such a dramatic way. We have not yet had our Beis HaMikdash for over 2,000 years, and yet, again, we still have our Kohanim, we still have our Levim, we still have our Yisrael. So we'll say we should be Zocha, that in the merit, ultimately, again, of learning this Masechta, and again, you have to admit, it's been incredible. It's been absolutely incredible to go through all these Masechtos concerning the Beis HaMikdash. I will say, to see all the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash come alive. And you have to admit, every single time you look at these incredible pictures, you say to yourself, I can't wait. I can't wait. Because it's going to happen again. And it's going to happen soon. And the Kohanim here are going to go back to their Avoda. And the Levim are going to go back to their Avoda. And the Yisraelim are going to go back to work so we can support the Kohanim and the Levim. Right? And I would say, what a schus to be able to do so. What a schus to be, and in Eretz Hashem, we just finished a regal, but you can imagine how Levi the next regal will be Zocha to go up with our Mishpachas, to be older regal, to see the Beis HaMikdash, to see the Kohen Gadol, to feel the Hashras Hashchina, when the Shalom Parim Sfasenu, we learned it, Echadish Baruch Hu should see our yearning through our learning that Emir Tzashimi should give it back to us, that it should no longer be just a theoretical discussion through beautiful pages of Gemara, but it should come alive in front of our eyes, B'meira B'yameinu. Rabbosai, very important, tomorrow, we begin our last Masechta of the Daf Yomi cycle, Meseches Nida. Rabbosai, Hakol Holich Achar Asof. It's been a long journey, 7.5 years. It's the last Masechta of the cycle. Rabbosai, even if I have not been so great in the previous Masechtas, right? Or even if I've been auditing the last Masechtas. I'm in, I'm out. I do the weekday program. I do the weekend program. Whatever. I do the alternate side of the street parking program. Whatever. Whatever it is. We'll say it's the last Masechta. It's the last Masechta. There's 2 months until we finish Shas. And even if you're not finishing Shas, because whatever, we'll say, some people came in the middle of the cycle, so they're not finishing Shas. Okay, but when we're Messiah Shas, you could say that, you know what? I was stark in the last Masechta. I was here every year. I was on time every year. I made it my business to chazer. I made it my business to know. There's no days off, I will say. There's no days off from Talmud Torah. There's no days off. There's a reason why there's a Yomi in the Daf Yomi program, I will say. The beauty of it is it's every day. And even if I haven't been every day, up until this point in the cycle, I could finish strong. I can finish strong. I'm going to be a Daf Yomi Jew from Maseches Nida. That at the Siyam Hashas, both Emirat Hashem, the Klal Yisrael Siyam Hashas, and Emirat Hashem, the beautiful scene that we're going to put together for our Shir, even if you're not finishing Shas, you could be a Messiah of Maseches Nida. You could be a Messiah ultimately again in the last Masechta in Shas. We'll say the ability to finish out the cycle knowing that I took this last Masechta and I made it mine is an incredible zuchus as well. So whether you're going to be a Messiah Shas or Mosai, if you put in 7.5 years of work, finish strong. Don't peter out now. But even if you're not finishing Shas, be Messiah this Masechta. Make this Masechta yours. Say, you know what? This is the Masechta where I demonstrate my unwavering commitment to serious Talmud Torah day in and day out. And it doesn't have to be at this year. It's okay. Wherever you're going to do it, you're going to do it on here, you're going to do it with a Chavrusa, or you're going to do it in a different year. Doesn't make a difference. I'm not a territorial person. As long as you're learning, and as long as you're committed to your learning day in and day out, Rabbi Hussein, that's what this is all about. We begin Maseches Nida in Meretz Hashem tomorrow. Meretz Hashem, the last Masechta of our journey through Shas Bavli. Let's begin it strong together, and in Meretz Hashem will be zocha to finish it strong together as well. Thank you.